Businesses carrying out new product development or working on innovative solutions, you could reduce your tax bill or secure a cash injection of up to 25% of what you've spent. Stuart did.
My company, Travel Welfare, have been developing new cost-effective software for issuing vouchers to delayed flight passengers. Rift Research and Development helped me claim tens of thousands of pounds back against the staff time and material costs I invested. It was such a simple process and they completed everything for me, so I had nothing to worry about. I would strongly recommend Rift and I'll be using them again.
To find out if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk today. That's innovationreward.co.uk.
Channel Radio. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 28th of April, with me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jill Sirkin. We're now joined on the phone by the lovely Andrea Childs. Hello, Andrea.
Hello, Paul. Hello, Jules. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well. Thank you. All the better because the last time you were on, we had rave reviews, Andrea. So I'm looking forward to your next tidbits.
Absolutely.
Oh, we also had lots of nibbles, and I haven't got those today because I'm not with you.
I know. Andrea was on a few weeks ago, and Andrea, like Rachel earlier, was a winner of the British Biz Star Award on the hashtag on Twitter. But you've gone on to surpass that big time, haven't you?
Oh, I certainly have. Last week, I was one of Theo Pathetis, the dragon himself, one of his Small Business Sunday winners. He runs a Twitter competition every Sunday, and between 5:30 and 7:30 in the evening, you can tweet Theo. And each week he picks six very lucky small businesses out of the thousands that tweet him every week. And after 8 months of trying, I have to say, perseverance is the key on that one. I was picked last Sunday, so yes, it's been a bit of a busy week, really. My Twitter feed has gone absolutely mental.
How did you feel when you were picked, Andrea?
I was actually at the gym at the time and didn't actually realise. I came back to my locker and my phone was going absolutely crazy. Then when I actually realised what it was and why my phone was going crazy, I was just over the moon because it's such great exposure You just get kind of into this kind of family of previous winners and people just give you so much advice and help and it's just such a high profile thing really with it being Theo Pathetis. So it's great.
Absolutely. And it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because Theo kind of started it as a bit of a whim and then it just took off and now there's a whole kind of industry behind it almost.
There certainly is, and you know, there's so much support for you as well, you know. And, you know, I speak to a lot of people on Twitter and they're all saying to me, you know, how did you do it and how did you win it? And I just think it's perseverance. I mean, I would say I did it every single Sunday for, you know, 7 or 8 months before I actually got picked. But I think, and that's a key really, but that's key to business as well really. You know, you've just got to keep going. You've got to keep trying. And if it, you know, if it's worth it, it really is, just keep going for it and you know, you'll be successful.
Absolutely. I mean, on the first part of the show today, we're exploring the whole concept of women in business, as you know. And, I mean, do you think that's a trait that women entrepreneurs naturally possess, or is it that tenacity, or is it something they've got to kind of work on?
I don't know. I think it takes somebody, you know, special to be an entrepreneur as such, or set your own business up and stick at it. Because, you know, certainly for women with work-life balance, with all the other pressures of, you know, a lot of women, you know, mums, wives, all the rest of it, homes, you know, there's a lot to juggle, really. But I think if you've got passion and if you're determined, which, you know, two of my traits, I think, passion and determination, I think you will be a success, male or female, really. But, I mean, certainly, you know, women in business, it's fantastic to see that the numbers of women in business today. You know, when I set up 10 years ago, it wasn't so. And, you know, I used to go to networking events face-to-face with the Chamber of Commerce, and I'd be the only woman in the room, which could have been intimidating, maybe because I'm a bit brazen and northern, maybe that helped me not be intimidated, but it could be, and it could put people off, I could see that, but it is changing. There's so many more women now involved in business, it's brilliant.
Absolutely. I saw some statistics the other day that female entrepreneurs are the fastest growing business category at the moment, and now more than 35% of small businesses are now owned by women as well, and that's growing at a rapid pace, which is great. It's fabulous that more and more people are starting businesses. Just for those that don't remember, Andrea, and there can't be anyone out there that doesn't, but just remind us what you do as a business, because what you do as a business is absolutely fascinating as well.
What we do, Click Business Solutions, we're a bid and tender writing company. So all public sector work over a certain value, so all large contracts in the public sector have to be tendered. So the public sector, which could be councils, it could be universities, it could be schools, hospitals, whatever, anywhere that's spending public money, basically, if they want to buy products or services, and really they pretty much use everything that anybody makes, sells or do, the public sector in some capacity will use it. They have to tender that work, and a tender basically is a huge document which needs completing, which you need to tell the buyer all about who you are, what you do, how you do it, when it's done. And we basically work with companies to write the methodology and get the high-scoring answers, which hopefully then gets them to win that new contract work. And we work with companies all over the UK to do that. They're obviously the experts in what they do, but we class ourselves as the experts in writing about it and getting high-scoring answers and answering the questions correctly in order to, you know, get that high mark that will help them win.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a fantastic business that you've got there. It's really beneficial to lots of people. And I know when you came on the show last time that we had a lot of feedback about what you do, and they were asking us questions as if we knew how to do this. And we just said, look, speak to Andrea. She's the expert. It's no good asking us. If we could do it, we'd be competing with her. And it is one of those things that, you know, in the context of what we're talking about, small businesses, bidding for government tenders is one of the last things that a lot of small businesses will do, because they're frightened by the process. They don't think they can handle all the hurdles and stuff like that. So it is really important what you're doing, because it is something that an awful lot of businesses want to do. And of course, the other side of the coin is that government, both central and local government, are really trying hard to award local contracts to people, aren't they, and to smaller businesses?
They absolutely are. You know, certainly in the remit, the procurement regulations changed recently, and the remit is to, you know, get more small businesses involved in delivering government contracts. And that keeps the work local. I mean, a lot of service contracts, if it's security or cleaning or catering, you know, they want local people actually carrying out the work. And therefore, in order to get local people to carry out the work, they want a local business to be running that contract. And local businesses can do this work. You know, there is no doubt that there are hundreds and thousands of small businesses out there that are more than capable of delivering it. But it's such a challenge for them to actually win it, because the hoops that they have to jump through with these documents is, you know, it's mind-blowing, and it's quite scary, really. And that's where we come in, you know, and we say, look, we can take a lot of that away. We can decipher it for you. We can tell you what you need to, you know, your pricing, what you need to be putting down. We can, albeit we don't do the pricing, we can advise them on where they need to be, and we can write all that those complicated questions on quality and sustainability and environmental and equal opportunities and all those areas that people see it and think panic. But, you know, we can help, and that's what we do. And, you know, we've had great success for companies, so, you know, and that's what business is all about, is providing a service that people need and providing a successful service.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Andrea. Absolutely right. Look, I could talk to you all day, but unfortunately we're running out of time again, and I know you've had a real nightmare to get to this phone call, because
how did that happen?
You were all set up to talk to us on the phone, and then somebody put a spade through your telephone line or something, didn't they?
Well, my actual home phone broke this morning, so I went out and bought a brand new home phone just for this call, and then then Virgin actually cut us off at the top of the road. So yeah, it was all
that
going
is
wrong.
The odds were against you. I mean, well done.
They were trying to stop you, but you're a determined woman, and they were not going to hold you back, Andrea.
Yeah, just absolutely. Wondering if you have a rival firm somewhere that's trying to, you know, stop you coming on the bunker.
No, I'm here. I'm actually in my office. I said I didn't actually want to do this from the office in case anybody tried to make me laugh or do anything silly. But
where
I'm
are you?
Here and they're all behaving.
Are you
behind me and behaving?
Are you actually in Leeds, or whereabouts are you?
No, I'm actually in the West Midlands. I'm actually a Leeds lass originally.
Okay.
But I've been in exile in the West Midlands for some 20 years now.
You've so still got your Leeds accent, haven't you?
Oh, great.
Which I love.
Oh, great.
No, I love that.
I'm gonna end this interview before she starts on her old Timmy Taylor's clogs, whippets and flat catch stick.
On Ilkley Moor Bartat.
Yeah. Look, Look, Andrea, as always, absolute pleasure to talk to you. We're in awe of what you do. Massive congratulations for getting onto Theo's Small Business Sunday Award. Very well deserved.
Brilliant. Can I just say one thing? It's not just what I do. I've got a highly skilled and trained team with me at Click Business Solutions. They are all brilliant, and I want to give them a shout out, because without them, my business wouldn't be what it is, and they're an absolutely brilliant team I've got. So well done, guys.
Absolutely. And give us a quick shout for your website so that people can find out more about you.
Yeah, website is www.click, and that's click with a K, so it's K-L-I-C-K, businesssolutions.co.uk. And really importantly, my Twitter handle is @click_business. So follow me on Twitter, I will follow you back. If you're banging your head against a wall, if you need any help with any tenders to win some business, just get in touch and give us a shout.
Fantastic. Andrea, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the rest of the week. Have loads of fun with SBS, and we will talk to you again soon, I hope.
I do hope so. Thanks, Jules. Thanks, Paul. You take care and have a great show. Thanks again.
Cheers.
Bye.
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 That was the lovely and delightful Andrea Childs of Click Business Solutions, winner of Theo Pathetis's Small Business Sunday Award. And very prestigious, that is, too. I'd like to turn now to our next guest.
If only you could turn, you're wedged in the chair.
Am I?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well, you know, you can't really turn, can you?
In this small I could, studio. But it would creak.
Yeah. I'll wave instead.
Yeah, yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Monkey Show now our next guest, the lovely Deborah Turner of U Image Consultancy, and also FSB Regional Committee Member.
That's right. I am the champion for women in business for the FSB Kent and Medway.
Indeed you are. And that's lucky, isn't it, that we've invited you on today? I wonder how that happened.
I know. Handy.
I want to talk about two things with you, Deborah. I want to talk about you and your business, obviously. But I also want to talk about your role as the champion for women in business with the FSB and what that encompasses and what the FSB are trying to do in that field. So maybe we'll start with that.
Let's start with that. And seeing as you lot have all been banding about lots of figures, I kind of suddenly thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to throw something in as well.
So, have you made these up?
No, of course not. I promise.
Do you know?
36, 25, 36.
87.9% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
This one isn't. This is from the Women's Business Council.
Yeah.
Basically, there are 2.4 million women who want to start a business or want to work, basically, and who aren't working.
Wow. 2.4 million.
2.4 million, yeah, wow. Women. So we talked about how many micro-businesses there are and how many of those are women. We could be having another 2.4 of those contributing to the economy if things were made a bit easier for them.
Okay.
One of the things that the FSB wants to do is, you know, encourage women to become entrepreneurs, if that's what they want to do, or at least help them to step in back into business.
Right.
Basically, we've spoken to them, found out a few of the things that they struggle with. Mm. One of them we know is access to finance, and we are going to be, the FSB Kent are going to be running a workshop, hopefully with the lovely Jane Ollis from Rift Accounting. She's going to talk to us about how women specifically can access finance to launch a business.
Right, okay.
One of the other things that we know women are struggling with is affordable childcare and child-friendly hours, networking, business support.
Yep.
So we do know that the childcare bill that I think is effective from September is going to give parents that up till now hasn't included anyone self-employed.
Right, okay.
But we'll give them the, yeah.
So, oh, okay.
So you can apply for the £2,000 tax relief, up to £2,000 tax relief. So that will kick in September.
Okay.
So that's another thing that the FSB are kind of helping to kind of lobby in respect of helping women step into business.
And that is really worth knowing, because I'm sure there's an awful lot of female entrepreneurs out there that don't know that.
That's right.
Absolutely.
There's and basically what there is, because I think initially you have to earn £50 a week, but for self-employed women, you don't. That's kind of waived as a sort of start-up period.
Right.
So,
okay.
There's more information on the Women's Business Council website about that.
Okay. And presumably you can go through to the FSB as well and find out some
about
it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
FSB.org.uk.
I know there are some women. I was listening to another smaller radio station, BBC, but they were saying that some women are paying more for childcare and parents than they're earning.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah, which is just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
But they almost feel that they need to do that just to be able to establish themselves back into the workforce.
Or to keep established.
Deborah, have you any feel for the female entrepreneur landscape in Kent? Do we know how many female entrepreneurs we have in Kent, for instance? It's not a statistic I'm familiar with. I don't know if you know.
No, I think the FSB, because we spoke to the FSB about trying to manipulate the figures, but they've only got national. They haven't got anything local because of how the stats are produced.
And of course, it's really difficult because you might live on the border. You might live in Sussex and work in Kent or...
In the Weald, even.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. My intuitive thoughts about it, because I do, as you know, I do a lot of networking. I go all over the place talking to business people. I am meeting more and more female entrepreneurs every time I go out networking, every time I do something. Nowadays, I think it was Andrea that was saying back in the day when she started networking, quite often she'd be the only woman in a room. I certainly don't see that anymore, and I see roomfuls of business people where almost 50%, if not more sometimes, of the people there are female entrepreneurs, which is, you know, fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Andrea's right. There was this kind of whole feel that going to a chamber or certainly an FSB networking event would be a room full of, suited men. Mm. Women weren't involved. That's definitely changed.
Absolutely.
And not only that, obviously, you've had the onset of a lot of women-only networking groups. And that's because one of the things that nationally was reported to government was that women struggle with that initial intimidation. As Andrea said, wasn't something she suffered from. I know a lot of business women who don't kind of who aren't worried about that, who don't lack the confidence, but the majority, that's why women won't step into entrepreneurship, because the main thing they worry, it's fear of failure.
Right.
And one of that is around going to networking events, business support events that they feel are dominated by men. So they do like initially, when they first make that step into entrepreneurship, to have women-only support networks.
Absolutely. This is something that the FSB are promoting. It's something that's growing. We want more people to kind of get involved with the FSB as well, especially if you're based in Kent or the southeast, and you want more help, you want more advice. You know, as Deborah's just highlighted, there are things happening that you may well not know about if you don't belong to these support organisations. So it is always worthwhile belonging to an organisation such as the FSB, because you'll find out sooner rather than later about the kind of things that are there to help you.
Absolutely. I mean, not only do they offer specific events around, at the moment, you've got the auto-enrolment around pensions, access to finance, as we've said, because we know that's an issue for women. But equally, just on the website itself, you've got information that could help you either launch a business, grow your business, and that's free information that's available, to anyone who wants to just search the website and have a play around with it.
Absolutely. Now, I want to come on a little bit to about your business now. So tell me about you. That was clever. Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, well done, you.
Because
it's all about you.
Yeah,
basically, my business, I show you what to wear and how to wow. It's very much, I come from a corporate background, and what I found myself, and having now worked with quite a lot of clients, is that women, ambitious professional women, often get overlooked or maybe not taken seriously at the start of their careers. And I show them basically that by creating their own personal brand, being unique, having not to feel like they need to look like one of the boys, that they can actually build their own personal brand, be their own individual person, and stand out from the crowd and get noticed, be memorable for the right reasons.
Okay, cool.
So do you mean step out the old navy suits and all that sort of very corporate look? Or what are you saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about giving some of your personality to your look and not feeling that you kind of really have to blend in. Mm. So there are ways in which, you know, you can stand out without kind of literally kind of looking completely different or having
so
to
not turning
kind of
up
be
in a cowboy hat and tassels.
Snorkel in a pink tutu.
Oh, that's you.
We can't wait for that, Paul.
No, absolutely.
You are getting it videoed, I take.
But you did tell me that pink was my colour. That is right. I didn't get that wrong.
No, you're a winter, aren't you? Or autumn, I forget.
You just told me I was autumn. Now you're winter. Mate, you're making
it up as you go along.
No, I think
you're autumn. I need to hold a scarf by you and then I'll know.
Yeah.
We'll do that exercise later. But I think pink tutu, I think it's got to be done regardless of what colour season you
it's
might
me,
fit
isn't
with.
It is me.
It's about your personality. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's all about the shoes.
Oh, you need a personality as well, do you? Oh, dear. I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, what we don't want to do is pigeonhole you. It's, I mean, even if there are certain colours that we know would work really well with you, make you maybe look a bit younger, but if it's not your personality and it's not your brand and you don't feel comfortable as a person, then that's no good. It's very much about being yourself, being unique.
You can make me look younger, could you?
Absolutely.
I'm not wearing a nappy for anyone.
I'm a magician as well.
You'd need to.
I think he needs a little bit more than a microderma abrasion, do you? So tell us how it's working. So if you, women or a man, presumably, they come to you and they ask for help with their personal style. And what do? Where do you start?
So what I do, because I very much believe in the personal brand, so I have an initial consultation to understand what's important to them, what makes them tick, what makes them stand out, what are their skills, their talents, their expertise. We're all sitting on this information that we've acquired or, you know, that we know and we love, and we're often reluctant to share that, or we often don't realise kind of quite how important we all really are. Mm. So it's really understanding what it is that makes you different, and how do you want to be perceived? We all kind of have in our head how we may come across, but it's about getting some feedback, understanding. If someone talks about you at a networking event, what do you want them to say about you? Mm. Once you've kind of really thought about those things, really drilled down about what those values might be, then that's how we can start to build the brand. So we can understand how you want to be represented in the marketplace. It's your free marketing tool, basically, your personal brand. Mm. So once we've established, that's the kind of first exercise for me. That's the kind of the most important element. And then we work with colour analysis, the style analysis, and your own personality and your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Because as you say, we've all got to either walk the dog or take the kids to school.
I don't believe, listener, that you walk the dog in those black stilettos. She's got some beautiful black patent stilettos. I cannot see you mincing along with the dog. They'd go in the grass.
I could.
You know, have you ever tried to walk on soggy grass in stilettos?
I don't care.
Well, there's a little new pop-on plastic heel savers that I wore to a wedding recently.
Okay.
Yes, because it was a lovely marquee. Yeah, saves the heels. Amazing. Nice little tip. They're on Twitter. I'll find their handle and let you have that one.
Please do. Please do.
Cool.
So, yeah, I mean, basically, I'd say once we've kind of developed how the look's going to work for you, then we can either raid someone's wardrobe, check to see whether they've got any of those items already. And if not, then I'll create them a shopping list. They can either go shopping themselves, I can do it for them, I can go with them, or do a bit of internet shopping. Mm. And then it's about updating that kind of on a monthly or three-monthly basis to make sure that consistently, it's all about consistency, it's about being congruent and knowing what's right for you. And of course, in today's 2015 going forward, digital age, it's about making sure that your online presence equates to your offline face-to-face presence.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you saw, Deborah, that there was that whole furore about Theresa May's cleavage. I don't know if you know, it's in the Mail. And you know, it's very, very hard for a woman with a larger bust.
With a cleavage.
With a larger bust, clothes now are made cut so low. I mean, I shop in Long Tall Sally, Monsoon. They're good for me. A bit of Bowdoin now and then, but it's a bit meh. But they're cut very, very low. And then you can go to the Marisota, which is a little bit for, you know, covering up your arms and that, but it can look a bit mumsy. So I think she had a really, you know, bad stick for that, because it is very, very difficult when you have a larger bust, don't you find?
Just wear a vest.
What's you can have the modesty vest, can't you?
Wear a vest.
But clothes are meant for, often made for younger women, but women in business, you know, once you reach, I don't know, 35, 40, maybe you want to cover up a little bit more. But things are very low cut, I find.
Yeah, absolutely. And I
never noticed that.
It's been
no, Paul, you've noticed and you've liked it, hence why you haven't ever commented or discouraged it.
Oh, that'll be it. I knew it was something there. Hey, listen, we could talk about this forever, but sadly we're running out of time. If people want to follow up with this and find out what to do to cover up their cleavage and everything else that we talked about, how can they get hold of you, Deborah?
So you can get hold of me and my business. My website is youimageconsultancy.co.uk. My Twitter handle's @ You Image Consult. And if you've got any issues you want to share with us as a woman in business in Kent, @ FSB Kent, let me know and I can come and have a chat with you, or we can organise an event that can cover some of the issues that you may be having.
Fantastic. Please do that, because the FSB are really keen to help women in business, and they're keen to help businesses full stop, but especially women in business. So do get in touch with Deborah. Do get in touch with the FSB. There's links to both Deborah's own personal website or corporate websites and the FSB on the Kent Business Radio website. For the moment, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Been an absolute pleasure. We're kind of fast running out out of time there because Jill started on about
cleavage
and stuff like
had
that.
Had to be done, didn't it?
Yeah. So I want to move straight on to our next guest. And it's a pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Dr. Simon Raby. Simon is at the University of Kent, and he's working in partnership with the Centre for Employment Competitiveness and Growth and the Kent Business School. And they've been working on a project called the BIG, which is a Business Improvement and Growth program. And you can read all about it on the Kent Business Radio website. We have a blog about it. You can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/B-G-insights and read there. You can also download from there a free copy of the Big Ten insights book that the university produced. But Simon, welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show. Why don't you give the listeners a very quick overview of what it's all about, and then we can move on to talking about the first kind of trait that we're going to discuss.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me back on.
Pleasure.
It's fantastic to be here. I mean, what a wonderful day it is outside.
But yeah, it's gorgeous, isn't it?
It's absolutely gorgeous. The drive here was fantastic. Mm. So yeah, I mean, the Big Ten, as you've mentioned, what we're exploring is, there are 10 characteristics, effectively, that we found that better performing firms actually use and achieve and achieve growth through. So we're really interested in exploring and debating what those characteristics are and what they mean to business owners out there, leaders, entrepreneurs, in terms of, you know, how they can actually use them within their organisation. So each one of these shows, obviously this is the second, but it's the first one focusing on a specific trait.
Absolutely.
And today we're going to look at the concept and trait of enthusiasm.
Fantastic.
So to be an enthusiast and what that actually means.
Have we got really?
Yeah. So, but overall, in terms of, there are some broad research questions that are driving our inquiry, driving our engagement with this work, and driving the kind of programs that we deliver with small businesses. And those sorts of things are around, what does success actually mean to you personally? Mm. What do they mean to you and your business? Mm. What actually drives growth? You know, what are those factors that are going to help you to sustain growth in the longer term future? And what gets in the way of achieving growth? You know, what gets in the way of achieving what it is that you want to achieve as a business owner? So those are things that we're really interested in understanding more about and getting under the skin of, basically. So,
absolutely.
So this process will help us to do that.
Yeah. Just sorry to interrupt you, but if you go to that blog post, which I told you about on Kent Business Radio website, there are links there, should you wish, where you can participate in this by completing the survey. And there's a link to the University of Kent Business School survey site. It doesn't take very long. I've done the survey myself. It's quite an interesting survey. Do get involved because it is fascinating, and you get to hear the results of that as well. So do follow that link and do the survey if you would. That would really help as the program unfolds.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, Paul. I mean, exactly that. There's an opportunity to take part in the inquiry process around, you know, ultimately giving yourself a voice into this work. But all that work is translated into workshops, programs that ultimately are delivered to business. So yeah, this is really helpful, hopefully, to a lot of organisations out there looking to understand more about how they can grow and succeed. So yeah, we obviously wanted to today to explore the enthusiast.
Right, okay.
So what I was keen to do, Paul, was actually, I mean, throughout these sessions over the next 10-12 months, we're going to bring in business owners, we're going to bring in the thoughts of academic experts. But what I wanted to do today, I thought, was actually to use you as the expert.
So he's going to interview me. Ooh. Now. He's hijacked my show. Yeah.
And to effectively, you know, look at the reasons around why you established the Business Bunker radio show. Because one of the things that underpins the enthusiast, and if I was to define the enthusiast, and, you know, actually looking at a definition of what enthusiasm means, it's about great excitement or an interest in a cause, in something.
Right.
So within business, it's about excitement, it's about an interest. Mm. And there's similar words out there around passion, around eagerness, around pursuit. Mm. But ultimately, we found this to be a key driver of growth. So I'm really interested to understand it more in your context.
Right.
And so, yeah, I thought we could go through a bit of a coaching process.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
And explore that as we go through it, if you're happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe just focusing on, actually, just tell me a bit about the original reason why you set up the Business Bunker Show.
The Business Bunker Show actually came out in a fit of pique. I was invited onto a radio show by another tiny radio station with a three-letter name to discuss ostensibly small business. And when I arrived, they actually wanted to talk about a reality TV show instead. And that kind of annoyed me a little bit. And I started to think to myself, as the thing unfolded, do you know, there's nothing on radio that I know of in the UK at that time that focused on small business, and very little that focused on business at all that was positive. So the media's approach to business is, especially nowadays, is to hate bankers, to hate profit, to hate business, or to, you know, to talk about things like tax avoidance or tax evasion or whatever they're talking about this week. Nobody ever talks about the positive benefits of business, and certainly nobody was talking about small business. And small business is something that I've always been passionate about, which is just as well because I've got quite a few. But it's something that I've always had a driving passion about, and I get annoyed when people talk about it in the wrong way. So the starting point for me with the Business Bunker was to try and get that message across, and I found that the media as it existed at the time wasn't particularly interested, and everybody kept telling me that there was no call for it, there wasn't any community aspect to it. So that was my initial drive, was I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to show that, in fact, it is something that people are interested in. It does have a profound effect on everything we do. And therefore, I wanted to kind of do something about that. But when I tried to start, nobody else wanted to. So I had to start my own, basically, was the only way I could do it.
Fantastic. So so you were really sort of focused on the small business angle. You saw the need there.
Yeah.
And that was something you really pushed forward with. What was the specific problem that you noted in relation to, you know, the small business aspect? You've spoken about the negativity in terms of some of the burdens. Typically, individuals talk about the constraints on growth, you know, reasons why we can't achieve success and achieve the things we want to.
Yeah.
But you've also spoken about, actually, well, it's important to talk positively about things. It's important to talk about vision, the future.
Absolutely.
And those sort of things. So what specifically was the problem you saw?
Basically, there were two things that I saw were happening then. Things in the 7 years I've been doing the Business Bunker, things have moved on, and there's now a whole radio station in London, for instance, Share Radio, that is a business radio station. None of that existed 7 years ago. We were one of the first to do this. And the two things that annoyed me more than anything is when people talked about business, and they still do it, politicians still do it today, they always focus on big businesses. Yeah. So if they want a business view on something, they'll talk to the CBI. But the CBI has less than 200,000 members, and there's 5.2 million businesses in the UK. So they don't represent the business community. As I said earlier, 99.3% of all businesses are small businesses, but nobody ever talked about it. It was always a big business. And what struck me before I knew the numbers was that clearly, if you look at the business environment, small business does all the work and big business takes all the credit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one big business will employ a couple of thousand people, and everybody thinks that's really important. What they miss is that a million businesses employing three people actually employ a lot more people. And that was the thing that drove me from that point of view. And two, coming up to election, I try not to get involved in politics, and I certainly don't get involved in politics on social media. But my timeline has been filled with the most horrendous rubbish that I've ever seen. And the most intelligent of people suddenly lose their entire intelligence when they start talking about politics, I find. And they become very tribal. And I've seen the most outrageous rubbish printed just recently. And you see loads of things that really annoy me, like service or community before profit. That is just such a nonsensical statement as to be unrealistic. Without profit, you can't have community, because that's what funds everything. People don't understand what profit is. When you talk about profit, people get this idea in mind that you're talking about some banker on a £1 million bonus, when what you're actually talking about is the reality of a lady or a man running a very small business who has to make an excess of income over expenditure, which is what a profit is, in order to survive as a business and to grow, and in order for there to be something to levy a tax on for then to fund the necessary public services that we need to run an effective 21st century country. So basically, my two passions are that business is actually more about small businesses than large businesses. I also actually have a talk called Come the Revolution, which is a piece of futurology in which I've predicted that big businesses and multinationals and bigness in everything was purely a phenomenon of the 20th century, and is not going to be a phenomenon of the 21st century. And some things that you might want to think about: the largest taxi company on the planet, Uber, does not own a single car. The largest hotel group on the planet, Airbnb, has no real estate whatsoever.
Yeah.
The largest media company on the planet, Facebook, has no content of their own. And when you start to look at that and you see, hold on a minute, big isn't everything anymore. It's not about being big any longer. You know, in the 20th century, it was important. F.W. Taylor and other business philosophers in the 20th century looked at building big businesses that were compartmentalised, so you had huge factories. I did some work as a management consultant 20, 30 years ago at the Ford plant at Dagenham, and in those days they had 35,000 people in Dagenham. I don't think Ford employ that many people globally now, but they had 35,000 people nailing wing mirrors on car doors in Dagenham. That doesn't exist anymore, but Ford themselves produce five times as many cars now as they did back then. So you've got this whole phenomena of moving towards smallness anyway. But smallness in the context of a global thing, because technology enables us, as Emma was saying earlier, technology enables us to work globally from our own kitchen.
Mm.
And those
or from the garden.
Or from the garden or from, wherever. You know, out in the marsh or whatever. Mm. That whole thing I just find inspiring. That nowadays, in the early 21st century, you can have an idea and you can take it to a global market. Mm. And you can do that in a lot easier than you could some time ago.
Yeah, and, you know, it's incredible to see the passion from you. You know, I'm experiencing it radiating across...
I'll just get annoyed.
...the studio, yeah. And this is the thing. It's about, you know, individuals, business owners, entrepreneurs, yeah, seeing a problem out there and getting really focused on it and saying, you know, I'm a dog with a bone. I'm going to be biting this bone and carrying it away and doing something about it.
So, absolutely.
You know, and that's what I sort of get from you from the show and the sort of success that it's had since. I suppose what I'm also quite interested to understand a bit about is what your actual values are in terms of what you would like to see the show represent. Mm. Because, you know, you've talked a lot about, obviously, what the show's answering in terms of the problem, what it's aiming to achieve. But but I'd like to sort of understand how you'd go about doing that. What are the values that you...
I love the Simon Rabbi show.
Absolutely. No, and they're fantastic questions and they're very apposite. I don't know that I know an off the... pat answer to that. What I think I'm trying to do is I'm trying to act as a focal point for the community, for the business community of Kent, specifically the micro and small business community of Kent. The Bunker Show is a media outlet using a particular medium, radio, to do that. There are other ways of doing it, and I don't seek to try and muscle in on those. So organisations like the Federation of Small Business are an organisation that you can coalesce around. There are other types of organisations, there are other types of media, but I wanted to use radio as a media, to do that and to build a community around that. My philosophy for the show is to be positive. So I didn't want to be...
It's true, you've always been positive, right from the word go, 6 years ago.
Absolutely. Mm. I don't do negative stories. I could do hundreds of negative stories. Yeah. There's loads of things I don't like. I can name names.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point of the show. The point of the show wasn't to be negative at all. I was fed up with most business stories being aimed towards the negative. You know, where you had a spillage of some kind, or somebody did something, or there was some illegal activity, or somebody didn't pay their taxes, or whatever. All of those things happen. I don't deny they happen, but that's a vanishingly small part of the business world. So for me, I wanted it to be about positive things. I wanted to talk about the positive impact that the business community had, and to recognise that businesses are just people too.
Yeah.
Politically... when people talk about businesses, they forget they're talking about men and women, because big corporates have their own persona. So a big corporate institution, be it a public institution or a private institution, has a persona of its own outside of its people. And therefore it gets attacked for its public persona. But the vast majority of businesses are just ordinary women and men going about their ordinary business doing things. And when people tell me that business people are all get rich quick, you know, evil people that don't care about anybody else, you just think, how ridiculous is that? Mm. You know, these people are just ordinary men and women that have decided to run a business, and that has helped the country in terms of its economy, its job creation. As we've seen over the last 2 years, 2 million new jobs created almost exclusively by small businesses. And that's all positive. So
May I just say that, yeah. I think from my point of view, having watched what you've done for 6 years, is, Simon, that what Paul's done is, right from the beginning, is he's given small businesses a platform to speak from and just to air anything they want to say, yeah. A chance to give out your website, your Twitter handle, and just talk about what you're doing and who you're reaching out to, which there wasn't before Paul started.
It's really interesting that you said that word platform, because that's what I just written down
really?
Just before you said it.
Was that your train home?
Spooky.
Spooky, yeah.
But no, the words you've sort of spoken about community, about a platform with a purpose around small, very small businesses, which often wouldn't have a voice to enable, you know, that sort of discussion and debate.
Absolutely.
But you've also spoken about being positive but not political.
Yeah. That's really difficult, especially coming up to an election, but I really do try hard.
And you've also spoken about being collaborative and supportive, so there's lots of stakeholders involved in this kind of area.
And we've been involved in transport and the Manston Airport thing, and we've always, you know, been, again, a platform for that.
Mm. Fantastic. So what I'm quite interested as well, just to sort of touch base on, is the impact you have and your approach to doing business. So in building the Business Bunker, in the interactions that you've had with others delivering the show, but also outside of that in terms of bringing speakers in, I'm sort of interested to know what impact you feel you've had on others in the way that you do your business.
What impact the show's had?
What impact? Well, the impact that you have, but it could be through the show, but in terms of building the show, what impact do you feel you have?
I would like to think, and I hope, that I've had a positive impact on the business environment in Kent by giving people the opportunity to tell us about what they do. One of the things...
Positive mentoring, I would say.
Well, one of the things I'm really fascinated by, and it's... I don't know why. I don't know whether I'm just silly or different or whatever, but I don't mind collaboration with competitors either. One of the things I found from the old style business environment is people in competing businesses don't ever talk to each other, and I just find that quite dumb, actually. It's not something that particularly bothers me. I absolutely love collaboration, and I don't mind talking about people that compete with me and compete with my businesses. Not that anybody can compete with Jobs in Kent, because it's the best website in the world. No. But you know what I mean? You know, that doesn't bother me. I think the community aspect of business is more important than individual businesses. And what I'd hope that I think I'm trying to do is to get people to recognise that we're stronger together as a community, working together, supporting each other, building each other, than we are just kind of
roaring
tooth and nail, not talking to each other and clawing each other's eyes out, which again is a 20th century phenomena. I don't think it's a 21st century phenomena. I think it was something from way back when historically, you know, business was trying to build itself and grab a lead.
And I think the thing you've alluded to in the previous part of the conversation is how technology's opened borders and boundaries.
Absolutely.
So that we are now competing nationally, internationally, quite easily through the internet and through technology.
Yeah.
So it's not like these local businesses are talking about stealing business off other local businesses.
Absolutely.
And that parochial sort of approach. So we're moving away from that, which is really important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, the things that you've spoken about positivity, about the stronger together, the community, the collaboration, actually, with competition is actually quite healthy and drives innovation, drives improvement.
Absolutely. It does, yeah.
What could be challenging about your approach to doing business? So, I've experienced you, and you're a very positive person, really wanting to build things. What can be challenging about your particular approach to doing business, do you find?
I think people can struggle with what I'm trying to say. You know, when it's okay for me, because I'm luckily enough that I have a very successful business that I can base it all on. And other people are starting out and are going, yeah, well, it's okay for you, but I've got to earn a living. I can't be doing this. And I fully understand that. So so one of the challenges is to help people try and understand that they can actually be successful in the long term. What one of my big driving things, because I'm old and I've been around a long time and I kind of learnt this by experience, is that life is an evolution. Evolution really is the catalyst to everything. You grow and evolve and you survive by being fit for your environment. And you fit your environment by adapting to what goes on. One of the things that people do find very challenging about me is that I don't believe in goals. I'm very against goal setting and targets. And the reason for that is I find them limiting. One of the things that I've discovered in my own business life is that opportunities present themselves all the time. And if you're too focused in one particular direction, you can quite often miss other things. Now, I know loads of people don't understand that. They don't particularly agree with it. And they think that you have to be tenaciously focused on one goal in order to get there effectively. And there may be an element of truth in that in the early days, until you get to a point where you can branch out. But one of my big enjoyments, one of the things that really does make me enthusiastic about business, is the opportunity to innovate and the opportunity to do stuff and the opportunity to do stuff that 20, 30 years ago was totally impossible. 30 years ago, I couldn't remotely have owned a radio station. There was not a hope on the planet of me or anybody like me doing that. And now there are thousands and thousands of small internet radio stations everywhere. Mm. And that's been facilitated by technology and by a change in the way that the world is. And those innovations have happened in a very short space of time. And in my lifetime, the change in technology has been awesome to see and the effects that has. But that's also exciting because in the last 40 years, if you look at what's happened, and then you think, well, my goodness, what's going to happen in the next 40 years is unbelievable. You know, things are going to happen. And one of the things about evolution, whether you look at it at a genetic level or at a meme level or at a business level, is it isn't a target. Evolution isn't heading anywhere. Evolution has never been heading anywhere. It's a process that unfolds a bit like water flowing. It will flow into whatever channel is available. So, you know, you can't predict where it's going to go. You can't predict where it's going to end up. You just got to go with the ebb and flow of it.
And, you know, the sort of values you spoke about previously, about collaboration, community, all those sort of things, they're the things that drive your decisions on a daily basis, the choices you choose to make.
And, yeah.
You know, yes, it can be important sometimes to have a goal, but I think in the way that you're talking about goals, it's about long-term futures. It's about actually, you know, this is a big goal. Mm. I'm not necessarily going to put any time frames on it. You know, there aren't specifics around it, but I'm still working towards this vision of what it is that I want to build and what it is that I believe is important.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the ways I look at long-term goals is, many years ago, I remember somebody telling me that they wanted to, their goal in life was to have £1 million. And I said, well, why? And they went, well, because I can do stuff. And you go, well, such as? Well, I could buy a big house or I could buy a Ferrari. Okay, so your goal isn't £1 million, it's to have a Ferrari. And I went, well, no, it's £1 million. And I went, well, hold on, think about this. If your goal is only to have £1 million, then that gives you a narrow spectrum of how you can earn £1 million. However, if your goal is to own a Ferrari, there are n numbers of different ways you might own a Ferrari, which doesn't necessarily involve you having £1 million. And if you broaden out what your goal is and be a bit more generic, sometimes you can see a different route to achieving the same end, if you see what I mean. Mm. And that's one of the things that really kind of fires me up, is that there are loads of different ways you can achieve things. Mm. And there isn't one particular right way.
So what you're saying is you could just open a garage for hiring out Ferraris.
There's all kinds of ways. You know, somebody might give you one. You know, you could buy a wrecked Ferrari and rebuild it. Mm. There's all kinds of things that you might do if you think about it in a slightly different way.
Fantastic. I mean, I know that we're coming towards the sort of end of our time on the show,
yeah.
But I suppose, you know, obviously, getting back to what we're talking about, we're talking about enthusiasm and the importance of that in building business. And, you know, I've heard it all now. I'm seeing it through my eyes, you know, the smiles and the sort of, you know, the engagement there. And I think, you know, what we've sort of learnt from the businesses that we've worked with is that it's a balance to be struck.
Sure.
Because actually, you know, too low levels of enthusiasm leads to disengagement with others, whether that's internal to the firm, whether that's external to the firm. Reductions in new ideas. You've spoken about new ideas, but actually if you're not passionate yourself as a leader, as a business owner, it's unlikely people are going to come forward to talk to you about what is possible, what are these new opportunities to achieve what it is that we're ultimately all wanting to achieve.
Sure.
And you've spoken about the importance of the big vision of where is it that we're going, where is it heading, so people can visualise and understand that.
Yeah.
But actually too much passion can be a bad thing too.
Yeah.
You know, too much passion can leave us overly enchanted with new ideas. You know, we pick and choose, pick and mix too much. Maybe the focus isn't there. Maybe we get too excited about things. We could become reckless, idealistic. So, you know, that can actually lead to a short-term chaotic approach more than actually a long-term sort of sustainable approach. So
absolutely.
There is that to sort of mention in terms of, you know, there is a balance to be struck. But passion and enthusiasm is really important to business success.
Absolutely, that is perfectly true, and I'm as guilty of that as anybody else. As I said earlier, I'm lucky to have got myself into a position through certain of my businesses where I can afford to make mistakes in other areas.
Yeah, but you've worked hard.
Yeah, but that's immaterial. What Simon's saying is absolutely true. I do things now that are just stupid. Yeah, and I do them because I can, not because they're the right thing to do sometimes, and that I'm in a lucky position where I can do that. So I can get really enthusiastic about really stupid things, like owning a radio station that has nil income and costs a fortune to run each month, because I can afford to do it. But if I went as a business, you know, wrote a business plan for this, everybody would look at me and go, you're an idiot. And quite rightly too. But I've chosen to be an idiot because I'm passionate about it. But someone not in the same circumstances as me can get caught up by something like that, by trying to do something that just won't work. Mm. As Winston Churchill once said, if at first you don't succeed, then try again. But hey, if it still doesn't work, give up. There's no use being a damn fool about it. And that is absolutely
or
true.
Flogging a dead donkey, some say.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you also mentioned previously about the importance of the social aspect and actually doing business for the community and other people.
Yeah.
And yes, there is the profit piece with business. It needs to make money to sustain itself.
Yeah.
However, beyond that, business owners that I understand and that I work with, you know, that it's more important about the relationship piece, about actually a social good, all those sorts of things. So yeah, I mean, all that's really important. So I suppose just to kind of, you know, round up our discussion, where's this conversation taken you that we've just had?
Well, I've enjoyed it. I hope the listeners are because it's made me think about what I do, because it's I don't really think about what I do very much, to be honest. I just kind of do stuff because I fancy doing it, which is the downside of being a bit of a nutter about things like this. So the discussion for me has opened my eyes, and it's made me think about, because I hadn't really thought about it, is not only the upside of a trait like enthusiasm, but the potential downside of it as well. And like everything in life, it's a balance, isn't it? You've got to get a balance right. So for me, that's one of the big points that come out of, you know, the kind of questions you've asked.
Well, the Twitter feed has been, while you two have been talking, has been rocking. So obviously listeners have enjoyed it. We've got Lee Willis saying, great show, Rift Accounting, Federation of Small Businesses, Village Pages, all rocking the show. So well done, guys.
Fantastic. I mean, what I'll obviously be doing after this particular show, and obviously all of the next 10 shows, is writing up a blog on our discussion. So obviously people can consume it afterwards, and they're welcome to get in touch and obviously ask any questions.
Absolutely.
And explore this kind of characteristic for themselves. It's one of the 10 characteristics that we've found that define high-performing, successful organisations and individuals. So there's other areas to be looked at as well, which we'll obviously continue to look at. But thanks for being such a good client.
And what is the best way to get hold of you, Simon?
The best way is through the Business Bunker radio show. So, you know,
kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Yeah. On the Kent Business Radio website, we've got blogs. If you go into the blog section, there are links to all of this. There are downloadable resources provided by Simon's team at the University of Kent. There are links back to all the resource centres at the university. There are links to all their research things, so you can find all the links by going there and go onto their website. As Simon quite rightly says, he'll write up a blog about this. We'll link to that so that you can find out that. We'll probably have a copy of it up on the website as well. You can also download the booklet as a free download that has all 10 of the traits in it. You can also link to their survey to get involved in what they're doing. So go use the Chemist's Radio website as a catalyst for this. It will take you through to all of their resources.
And as you mentioned at the beginning, people can take part in the survey. So if you're a small business owner out there, an entrepreneur, and you want to do that, then please do get in touch. We can send you an online link. It's very quick to do. If you really like the mini booklet, there is a full report. So it's very accessible. It's got lots of graphics in there. And it talks about a fictional character called John. It could easily be Jane, but are the challenges that John experiences in building their business and actually how they come across these characters' success and what they mean to them. That's obviously available as well. I suppose what I'm just keen also to mention is some of the other work that we're doing, which business owners may also be interested in sort of staying tuned for. So on the 19th of May, we've got this upcoming show on the Transformer.
Right.
So we're going to be looking at change and transition and how change and transition is really important in success. And I know that we're going to have a business owner on who's actually transitioned into family organisation, sold it ultimately to a much larger organisation, but went through a huge amount of personal transition in that process. So it's going to be a thoroughly fascinating, a process that we're going to go through with that. And then we've got other sort of issues that we're working on. We've just recently finished a network session on how to establish successful strategic alliances. Mm. So again, if people want to talk more about strategic alliances, that's an interesting area we've been working on. We've also been working on governance and also strategic financial management as well. So if people are trying to manage their finances strategically, again, we're doing work in that area in Spain.
Fantastic. Simon, thank you so much for that. Sorry to rush you. We're coming towards the end of the
show.
There's loads of stuff. Simon and the team and Toby will be back on the next one to talk about transformation. As he said, you can find out all about this by going to the Kent Business Radio website. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show this week. We've had a fabulous lineup of guests, starting off with Rachel Sacker from Moon. Moon and Sixpence.
Yes.
Yeah. We had the lovely Andrea Childs from Click Business Solutions. We had Emma Wood for Into the Wheeled. We had the absolutely gorgeous Deborah Turner from U Image Consultancy and the Federation of Small Business. And of course, Dr. Simon Raby from the University of Kent Business School. But most of all, we've had you, the businesses of Kent and increasingly the southeast of England. Thank you so much for joining us. Coming up on Channel Radio at straight after this show is Pete Dix with Beatles and Beyond. Then at 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. That's followed at 7 o'clock.